Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our second session in this Bible study, Giving Thanks and then we got that blank underline. And today, I think at the end, you're going to be able to start filling in some of the things that you see going in that blank as it pertains to you and maybe what the Lord is sharing with you. I think it'll be a blessing to you and a real encouragement. Again, as I said before, I think in the times we live in, that this is something that the Lord is just driving us and giving us again, trying to get into us so that we can be positioned for the more, for the increase of His kingdom here as we enter what I believe are the last of the last days and performing the work we have to do. So let's pray and we'll just jump into this morning. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Jesus, whom You gave because You loved us. And so today, Lord, we yield our hearts to You. Holy Spirit, You minister to each of us and through me so that people hear exactly what You want them to hear. And they grow, and I too grow in You, so that we may be a people of renown for You in these days. And we give You praise and glory and honor for Your word and the way it works effectively in us. Amen and amen. Now, I told you last week, this is not a political series by any means, but the Lord asked me some questions after the recent election. I was giving thanks that we had a peaceful one. Things didn't explode as so many had been saying it was going to, and I'm still thanking God that it won't. And He asked me, okay, if you're so thankful, what are you going to do now? And then He said, what's my church going to do? And I think what He was implying is that a lot of us, after elections and we think it goes the way we want, we're truly thankful, but we sit back and do absolutely nothing and just look to the result of the election to be His will and to change things. And it's not what He wants from us. I have come to that conclusion very purposefully. So today we're just going to jump in and talk about this same subject, but you're going to begin to see and get a picture of what He has for us to do behind that "and." It's not just, oh, thank You, and we sit and do nothing. And there's a wide variety of things that you may see today. So I just urge you to open your heart to hear what He wants you to do. Now, we've anchored ourselves in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, and reading from the New King James, "As you, therefore, have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him." And the Complete Jewish Bible for that says, keep living your life united with Him. We can't live it apart. We've got to stay with Him. And that's the way we're going to be able to do the more. And then it goes on and says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Now, to me, that talks about relationship, having a firmly established relationship. But you're going to see it's not just with the person of Jesus, because He is the Word. And listen to what it says, established in the faith as you have been taught. So it's about the Word. And then here's the phrase that we were really focusing on, abounding in it, in our faith, with thanksgiving. Now, verse 8 is a real warning to us. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the word, and not according to Christ. Now, what I think this is telling us is that these things are things that impact our mind. And so what He's saying to us is the real battle we face then in this is in our mind. And when we yield to the things of the world, traditions, basic principles of the world, then what happens? We open ourselves up to deception, and the principles of those kind of things, the principles of this world, will end up taking us captive in our mind, which takes our total focus off the Lord, onto those things which are anti-Christ, if I may say it that way. But the word abound is the one of the ones we focused on, and it means to superabound, to have excess. Listen to the New Living. Let your roots grow down into Him, and let your lives be built upon Him. Then your faith will go strong in the truth that you were taught. And I just say thank you, Lord, for that revelation for all of us. And then it says, we will overflow with thankfulness. And we talked about thanksgiving, being thankful, is more than just having this emotion of I'm thankful. To give thanks or thanksgiving requires an act or an expression. And there are really three components of it, of giving thanks. The first is to remember Him and His acts. The second is to be grateful for them. And the third is that expression or acknowledgement of it. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, in the Young's Literal Translation, and again, it doesn't read as smooth, but it's really good, says, and to God, thanks to Him who is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to focus again today on this phrase, is giving. That verb is in a prolonged or a continuous form. And so really what he's saying is that we're giving thanks for past, for current, and we should be giving thanks for future manifestations. And what does that imply? Because we're walking by faith and not what we see in that last one. It implies a walk of faith. And again, we go back to what we said, established in the faith, built up in Him, just as we've been taught. And then these abounding in thanksgiving things, principles, will begin to be yielded up in our life. So today I want to start with a verse that we ended at last week, and we'll just build on it. That verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 10, and I'm reading this from the New American Standard. Now He, talking about Jesus, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food. Now that says something that to me that I wanted to just mention today, and I don't think I did. You're going to have resources given to you that are for you to consume, bread for food. But you're also going to have seeds, plural, that you are to sow as a sower. So we need to be careful that we don't consume our seed. So He's going to give us this seed to the sower and bread for the food, and He will supply and multiply our seed for sowing and increase our harvest of righteousness. And He goes on to tell us why that's happening. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. So we're giving freely, we're giving openly of what He's given through grace to us, a free gift. And look what He says it's producing for us. Thanksgiving to God. So here we are receiving seed. We sow it. We give thanks for the increase that comes for it. And guess what we're teeing ourselves up for? Verse 12 says, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing, abounding, having excess through many thanksgivings to God. So here we go then. We sow seeds that the Lord gives us. We have a harvest, an abundant harvest, and we give thanks for it. And we have leftover, so we give from that to others. And what happens? They get blessed by it. And now we're giving thanks for what we've been able to give. They're giving thanks for what we gave. And it just abounds and increases and increases and increases. And, you know, I wonder, have we ever considered that we could live in what is what I would term as a never-ending cycle of increase? And I'm talking about every aspect of our life. So the question then that I have to ask is this what I expect? Am I looking for this to happen? Or am I just sowing a seed, having a prayer that we ask about, it gets an answer, be it whichever one, and then I give thanks and I just sit. I don't think that's what the Lord wants us to do. So that's why I'm asking this purposefully. Is this how we think and act. Now, this is where the Father, I believe, is directing us as we prepare for this late great awakening, if I can get it out, just before the coming of our Lord Jesus. Our giving thanks enables us to achieve increase in the victories over darkness and allows for overflow of blessings, which not only bless us, but impacts others. Now, if we learn this individually, then think about what the magnitude of this could be, what the breadth of it could be, if the church begins to operate this way in unity, and even our nation. So today, let's build some on this precedence that we've been given in 2 Corinthians 9. And it's really instruction that we get in the Word for thanksgiving and obtaining results. And we're going to ask the question of ourselves in these verses, what were they doing? So that we can ask of ourselves, what is our responsibility? What is our expectation for ourselves? How does this change us? What are we doing next after we give thanks? So I'm going to start with a verse that may surprise you. Psalm 107, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, you know we've just finished a series where we read this for 9 weeks in a row. And you should have the first two parts of the first two verses of this three pretty well memorized by now. And look at how it starts. And I want to tell you, when the Lord took me back here, my brain wasn't smart enough to think about it, but He led me to this one. And it just helped me see even more on the power of redemption and what our thanksgiving for that can do. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness, or His mercy, is everlasting. I could also say, for His covenant love is everlasting. And then, as you know, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. So what do we have to be thankful? We've been redeemed. We've been taken out of the hand of the adversary. We're held in the hand of our Father, of whom no man can snatch us away. Jesus said the same thing about Himself. And so we have much to be thankful for. And then I want you to look at verse 3. It says, and gathered from the lands. So they gave thanks. They talked about their redemption, declared it, and He gathered them from the lands. Now, this is not talking about when He took them out of Egypt. It's not even specific about what it's talking about. So it may be when He's pulled them back from the exile. But what I want you to see, because this is important for you and I, is that this is a prophetic statement about us. Now, I've gotten ahead of myself, so let's back up to number 2. First one, we're giving thanks. Verse 2, and that's the starting point. Verse 2 then tells us it's time for the redeemed to speak. And note again, because this is one of those follow-up actions, what we're to say, what we're to speak, and what it indicates. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, and that word say means publish, in other words, to make known, to declare, which is to state the truth the way it will be, to command, as in the light be command that the Lord gave, and light still is. To challenge, to face your enemy with authority, to demand, which is requiring submission of your enemy to God's words. These are follow-ups of what we do after what? After giving thanks to Him for His loving kindness endures forever. And we need to see that these words, speaking, one of the things we do after we give thanks, are not just to impact ourselves, but what? To serve as a basis for exercising authority that will bring manifestations to others. But also see that when we're proclaiming what the Lord has done for us, we're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus that others can hear. And we do this in this attitude of gratitude, giving thanks over and over. Now, I heard one of the things I said as I was typing these notes up just previous to this recording. I heard the Holy Spirit say that what we're doing is we're proclaiming the gospel with signs and wonders. And immediately my mind went to Jesus, where it talks about him in Scripture over and over, particularly in Mark, that he was out teaching and healing. He was preaching and healing over and over. And that's what we're doing when we proclaim the good news of Jesus. How often we see that in the Scripture. But again, notice this verse 3. Gathered them from all the lands. Not talking about Egypt. Not sure if he's probably referring to when he brought them back from one exile, but it's not specific. But it's also a prophetic proclamation of what he is going to be doing, what he has done now for mankind in sending Jesus and what? Establishing us, his church, the body of Christ, in this earth today. And what does this do? This brings about kingdom increase. Now, people who would say, yeah, but all those miracles, that was for the beginning of the church when they needed it. I would argue it's even more needed today. They were more open to miracles back then than today. And so that's why it's going to be an eye-opening. It's going to be a dinner bell that begins it. This is our task today, our priority one, bringing in those who need to see the salvation of the Lord. And the only way we do it is proclaiming it. So let's look at some more scriptures that begin with thanks. And I'm going to look at next Psalm 100, the entire psalm. And it's entitled A Psalm for Thanksgiving, or A Song for Thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So what he's done here is said how we ought to be, a joyful people, knowing that the Lord has us. He's created us. He takes ownership for us, and he looks out over us. And then verse 4 is a slight shift. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, when we begin to enter his gates, we are drawing near to him. So as we enter his gates with thanksgiving, it's as if thanksgiving opens the doors to that inner court. This is where the veil was in the temple, which you could not get to. So what are we doing? Thanksgiving opens the doors for us to enter into his presence, to draw near to him, I might say. And when we do that, then we enter that court, his courts, with praise. We give thanks to him. We bless his name. For he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. So how do we get into his presence? Through thanksgiving. That's what opens the doors. And again, the New Testament term that we're going to be looking at in the next verses says that we draw near. Oh, what a glorious experience to draw near the Lord. And it's a follow-up to what? Our giving thanks. So if you feel way apart from the Lord, if you feel like I haven't felt his presence or I haven't perceived his presence and you know he's with you, what is a good thing to do? Give thanks. Open your heart up and thank him for all he's done, including the past things. You know, I have several friends who keep diaries of every little thing, journals that the Lord has done for them so they can go back and review it. Good idea. Old Testament created memorials. We'll mention that in a moment. Hebrews 4:16, one of those draw nears. Let us, therefore, draw near. And I want you to know how we draw near. With confidence. And we're drawing near as we've entered his presence to the throne of grace, that we may receive or take mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So with thanksgiving, then we position ourselves to draw near to him, to enter his presence boldly with confidence. Now, what does James tell us about this drawing near to him? that He will draw near to us. So thanksgiving is what brings all of this opportunity about, that we can seek His face and draw near to Him. And then when we do that, there's more for us. His mercy is there for us to take. And it's not just because we asked. It's just there because as we draw near to Him, that's His very essence of His nature. And then it's not only mercy to take, but it's grace and more grace to help us in whatever He is assigning us to do. And so I want you to begin to see that's some of the and to fill in the blank is doing what He has in our next assignment. But again, I have to ask this question of myself and all of us do. Is this what I'm expecting? Am I going into His presence to take mercy and receive grace just so I feel goosebumps? Or is there a purpose for what I'm to be doing? So another drawing near, and you would not be surprised that it is James. 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8. And it starts out, but He gives what? A greater grace. And where does it come? After thanksgiving. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Now you may be sitting there and saying, wait a minute. I thought we were talking about thanksgiving and you're talking about humility. When I say, thank you, Lord, you've done this work in me, what am I saying? It's all about you, Lord, not me. There's no pride. Thanksgiving takes us away from pride when we realize it's Him and Him only, and we express it. I'm sure the devil cringes every time we give thanks to the Lord because He's been working on us trying to get pride in an area, and then we turn around and just say, it's all because of you, Lord. So humility and thanksgiving, there's a definite tie. Then the next word is submit, near, therefore, to God. Now, submission means that we do His will, what He tells us to. And what have we seen so far? Thanksgiving is part of what He wants to do. Is it just so He can be puffed up? No. It's because He knows that's the way we magnify Him. So He gets larger in our view and perspective. And then He's able to do the more with us. So submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And it's interesting. It starts with humility, but now that we see, it starts really, we can say, with thanksgiving as well. Because those two things have a close relationship. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. So thanksgiving is the opposite of pride. It's not, look what I did, Lord. It's look what you did. Even if it's I'm being used for it to be brought about, it's look what you did, Lord. Look what you gave us to share. Look how you instructed us to pray. It's not about me. Yet, what must we do? We must act on this. We must have an expectation that there is something coming beyond this expression of thanksgiving. Again, part of humility. So, thanksgiving, and I know I'm getting redundant in that, and that's what I'm about to say, but thanksgiving is not just an act and sit back. It's expecting more, expecting Him to instruct us. Hebrews 10:22 gives us an excellent idea of drawing near and the attitude we need to have. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. That's a big phrase. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, the last part of that verse is a knowing, a confidence, and being thankful for us being made righteous. That's in essence what it's saying. We've been made righteous in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And so he says before that, though, let us draw near with this sincere heart. I think that is a heart full of gratitude, but it's also a heart that is big and open, flowing with love in it, and his love then out of our heart for others. So it's having the right attitude But it goes back to Thanksgiving. That right attitude says it's all about you and what you've done. And thank you for that. And thank you for using me. Because what's the net result? Kingdom increase. Now I want to go to another example. This one is involving Jesus in John 6. And I want to start in verse 4. Now the Lord quickened verse 4 to me as I was studying this and preparing. And I'd never seen this relationship to Thanksgiving is what I'm talking about. It starts out, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. So what was Passover? Passover was a time when they celebrated him taking them out of Egypt, the work of redemption that he did for them. And it's when the death angel passed over them, yet visited the firstborn of men and animals in the land of Egypt. But what did he tell them about Passover? I want you to do it every year so that you can do what? Remember and be thankful for what I've done for you. So that's the way this section is introduced. Jesus, therefore, in verse 5, lifting up his eyes and seeing a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that we may eat? And he was saying this to test him, because he knew himself what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. 200 days worth of salary is not sufficient for them, for everyone even to receive a little. And then verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But, well, you know, what's that with so many? Now, hear what I just said. His attitude was, but what's that with so many? Jesus then said in verse 10, have the people sit down. And it was much grass, so he had the men sit down in number about 5,000. So up to 20 maybe with all the kids and the females. And I want you to look at the difference in verse 11 between the way Jesus viewed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish than the disciples did. Jesus, therefore, took the loaves. Again, what Peter said, what is this for so many? And look at what he did. He gave thanks. He gave thanks for what he had. Why? Because he knew there was a give thanks and can I just say this? Increase was coming. He had faith for that. And look what he did. He distributed to those who were seated, and likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets from the 5 barley loaves which were left over. Passover, a feast to remember, a feast that they could be thankful for and thus expect God, because they were thankful and they remembered, to do it again. Again, Psalm 78, I believe, says they were unthankful and God couldn't work for them. Oh, that one is one that we don't even want to go near. And then in verse 11, Jesus valued the little that he had instead of complaining that it wasn't enough, and he gave thanks to it, and a huge increase followed, not just at his hands, but at the hands of the disciples who would give it out. Now let's look at another example in this same, or another comment about this in this same account. Think about what we just talked about now, Passover being a memorial to what happened. In John 6:23, they've crossed over the sea, and it said, the lake from Tiberias, and it says, there came other small boats from Tiberias near to the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. It didn't say they ate bread where he multiplied it. It says they ate bread near the place where the Lord had given thanks. That just tells me this is what that was all about. This is where it started. Now, again, this Old Testament feast of the Passover was established as a memorial. And what would men do when God did something really great for them? They would build a little altar, a memorial, a memory, so that they could be reminded of the goodness of God. Why? So that they could give thanks to Him and see themselves being blessed above and beyond. So not only then did the people who were there get bread, they had a point that they could point back to that was more real to them than Passover could have ever been. That they could go back and see how giving thanks caused them to be blessed. So do we remember and give thanks as we should? And if you feel like you're not near, go back to the things that happened a long time ago. Remember, we can give thanks for things that happened in the past, what's happening now, and we can also give thanks, as you're about to see Jesus did, before. And He's done this. This is one that we've just seen. Here's another. In John 11, Lazarus has died. You know the account. He and the disciples are away. They don't come. Messenger comes. Jesus realized Lazarus is already dead. They end up going there. He has discussions with Mary and Martha. And then He tells them, you're going to see the glory of God now, today. They had some right theology, but wrong timing for it. So Jesus said then in verse 39, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to Him, Lord, by this time there'll be a stench. In other words, he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? So I'm beginning to paint a picture for you now of seeing the glory of God. And what's our subject for today? Thanksgiving. And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised His eyes, and He said, Father, I thank Thee that You've already heard Me. Now, I changed that to the way I would talk versus saying, heardest Me. And I know that You hear Me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that Thou didst send Me. Now, what did He do to demonstrate that He was sent of the Lord? He gave thanks that the Father heard Him. Oh my. Do you give thanks when you pray? Do I give thanks when I pray that the Father has heard me? That's a question we have to ask and change for me, I'll say. There are some things I haven't been as aggressive on. And when He had said these things, He then cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now, what did we say that giving thanks and the increase that comes afterwards was for? It's for souls to come to Jesus. Listen to 45. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come to Mary, but had beheld what He had done, believed in Him. So Jesus, being thankful before the event, when was He thankful? When He prayed to the Father about what He was to do. He went ahead and gave thanks for it because He knew He would honor it. Does that sound like Mark 11? Yeah. And the results then was beyond what the crowd expected. And what did it result in? Kingdom growth. But don't remember, the glory of God was displayed in that event. And that also came after the thanks. So what do we say? What do we ask ourselves? What do I expect? Now I want to go to one that has been there are several of these prayers. There's one in Romans. I've got that in your notes. It's 1:8-12, but we're not going to go over it. I got it for you to read and see and pick out similar things. But in Colossians and Thessalonians, this same theme occurs. So it starts out in verse 1, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brothers. Timothy was with him. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Now here we go. Verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So can you see they open for prayer and then they express thanksgiving for these people? I want you to note that. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all saints, would you like to have that testimony? I think if we can be thankful and walk in it, that's more, can be more ours. Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you had previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world, but all the world has not received it, but they did. And look what it says about them. And Jesus and Paul, let me say, Holy Spirit, is thankful for this. It is also constantly bearing fruit and doing what? Increasing. You think they were grateful? Even it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Now skip down to verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, what did this entire prayer start with? Expressing of thanks, giving thanks for them and all the Lord was doing in it, so that you may walk in a manner worthy to the Lord of the Lord. Well, wait a minute now. I thought they already were. What do you see here intimated by that phrase? Increase. Increase in what He's given you to do, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Just for themselves? No. Verse 11, strengthened with all power. Now, that's not just so they could go around saying, look what I can do. It's for others to see and them to testify of Jesus according to His glorious might, for obtaining all of all steadfastness and patience joyously. Now, this is what He's saying for them to do, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in lights. Paul begins by saying, we give thanks for you. And he concludes by saying, you're giving thanks, and we're joining in with you in this thanks. And what happened? Further increase. So we see Jesus praying this. Can you see Jesus praying this for you over His kingdom on earth, so that we get increased results and we're thankful as He is thankful? And what should then be our expectation? More and more increase. Now let me close with 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. So here Paul is talking about himself. Thanks be to God. So he's giving thanks. What does he expect? Him to always lead us in triumph. He's thanking Him for what has happened. He's thanking Him for the triumphs that are happening now. And I believe equally important, he's thanking the Father for the triumphs that are going to be experienced because of the power of God at work in him in the future. And it manifests a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Now, if Holy Spirit prayed this through Paul, Paul prayed it, do you think that Jesus might have been praying the same thing in heaven? Do you think that Jesus is praying that same thing over you and I today? Saints, what awaits us is an unending circle of giving thanks for what He has done, and being ready for that more grace, that greater grace, as we submit to Him for others and ourselves. This is our calling in these last days. It's priority number one. So I would say to you, you fill in the blanks. I give thanks and you've got a lot of options to put in there. I'm working on mine, and I would encourage you to work on yours, because there is much more in giving thanks than just the saying the words. It's receiving the more. It's drawing near to God, being in His presence, hearing His voice lead us and guide us in the different things He's going to ask each of us to do. And I also want to say, pray for you, your church that you go to, about what this our churches are to do in these last days. I think it is so, so important. Now let me comment. On the 27th, next, the following week, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we will not have a time together. And then we'll reconvene for our new study. No, I don't know what it is yet. I'll be studying that during these couple of weeks on the 4th of December. So, no session next week, and we'll pick back up in 2 weeks on Wednesday, December the 4th. Love you guys. Pray that you just get this in your heart so that you can expect the increase that comes with Thanksgiving.